Hi, this is Kim Katola. Thanks for checking out this podcast from Cradle My Heart Radio. You can hear the show live on Sundays at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, and there are many more podcasts for this and all of our Faith Radio shows available online. Our web address is myfaithradio.com. And thank you for your gifts to this listener-supported ministry. Enjoy the podcast.
A safe place to connect with others, finding God's love after abortion.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
Cradle My Heart with Kim Katola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003. 800-811-3003.
That is the Sarah Bareilles song, Brave, of course, and we're going to talk about being brave tonight. Bravery in the face of difficult circumstances, bravery in the face of public opposition, bravery in the face of choice. Kim Katola with you tonight. I'm so glad that you could join us. It has been a busy week for me, and I just need to give a shout out to some of the folks that I've been spending time with. I was speaking at a fundraising banquet for the Pregnancy Helpline in River Falls, Wisconsin, earlier in the week. It's been a busy month for speaking. The Total Life Care Centers graciously brought me in to MC an event at the beginning of the month. We also spent some time in Hayward, Wisconsin, at the Pregnancy Resource Center there. Coming up next week, the Caring House is having their annual banquet. I'll give a keynote in Griffin, Georgia. And I love to do that. I love to go not only to tell my story, but to put the issue of reproductive choice in context. Because I think context so often is what is lacking. And I love the fact that when we have God's standard to adhere to, it doesn't matter how varied, desperate, difficult the circumstances may become, we have our plumb line. We know what we should do. God's word is really clear on this issue. It says, choose life. It's really clear. And so I made that mistake. I sinned in that way. I did not make that choice. There was a lot of ignorance on my part, but yes, there was also some cowardice in play. And so we're going to talk about that tonight. One of the other things, though, that happened for me this week is the release of a CD of songs that I've been working on for years. And I want you to just, as your time permits, go to KimKatola.com and learn about this project, because we're really excited about it, and I think you will be too. The songs are very surprising. Let me just put it that way. And I cannot take the credit for that. I had a great team putting it together. And again, you can find out all about it at KimKatola.com. But we released this week on Amazon and iTunes, and I'm just thrilled about that. And thrilled for those who will receive the message that the music brings. All right, so on to our new business and tonight's program, this question of being brave. I don't know if you saw a week ago Friday, it took the internet by storm. It went viral right away. A young woman posted on Reddit, and if you're not internet savvy, and Reddit is just a news aggregator, and anybody can start a thread, and there are moderation groups, but it's sort of like a people's news outlet on the internet. And so this woman announced her plans to abort her child this Friday, as she put it. So I don't know if that meant that, you know, the coming a day or two later or a week later. Anyway, she even referred to the child as little thing. And so this open letter went viral. And what concerned me about it is that she was being lauded for being brave with an expression of love toward the child that she planned to do away with. And I want to talk with you about that tonight. And I'm, because this woman remained anonymous, I don't intend to call her out. I think that she's an individual who is deeply troubled and being exploited by those around her who should be helping her to actually be brave instead of telling her that her decision to announce this to the world was somehow brave. So the purpose here is not to bash, not to gossip, even though the person remains anonymous. That's what it would be doing if we were just simply here talking about her. I want to talk about the bystanders. I want to talk about the people that are encouraging women who are in such difficult circumstances to go through with that decision instead of actually offering true love, true support, true encouragement. And our guest tonight, I'm really excited to introduce you to because she has a world of experience, first of all, in the blogosphere. Carla Stream is a pro-life speaker, and her story of her abortion experience and forgiveness in Christ has blessed groups many times. She refutes the lies of the abortion industry with the truth of her experience and leads others to the forgiveness that she has found. And through that, there are at least three children that she knows of that are alive today because she told her story. That is Carla's heart, to save lives. She will help anyone to understand there's no one beyond the saving grace of Jesus. Now, Carla served as moderator for Jill Stanek's pro-life blog for 6 years, and she currently also represents Operation Outcry Wisconsin and writes her own blog at 4x40. Carla Stream, welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio tonight.
Thank you, Kim. Thank you for having me.
So I know you have some thoughts about this internet abortion announcement, and I want to get to that. But before we do, I want to give you a chance to share a little bit of your story, however much you're comfortable sharing, Carla, about what happened in your life.
I had a grandmother, Nora, that loved me dearly, and she gave me everything that I needed as a young girl. And when she died when I was 14, I didn't know what to do, and I turned to drinking and partying and trying to cope with her death. I looked for love and affirmation and found that in relationships with men, and that behavior continued through high school and college, and I was in relationships I had no business being in. And I found myself pregnant at 24 and didn't know what to do. I was unsure and afraid and alone. I didn't have anyone to turn to. I didn't know a lot of people, but I did tell two people, and one didn't say anything because he thought that abortion was wrong, but that it was my right to choose. And I told my roommate, and she said, "I'll drive you." And she was talking about abortion. She would give me a ride, but I didn't know if I wanted an abortion. I had college roommates that had abortions, and my sister had one, and I wasn't sure if that's what I wanted. And I was in a place of desperation when I thought about what was going to become of me and where would I turn and what would I do. What I really wanted was support and encouragement and someone to walk alongside me and say, you're not alone, and we're going to get through this together, and you can do it, and I will be here for you. I didn't have that and didn't know where to find it. And so in a very rash decision, I picked up the phone book and looked under A's and found abortion and made an appointment at Meadowbrook in Minneapolis. And I took that ride from my roommate. And I remember driving into the parking lot and looking for the protesters, looking for the crazies that would stop women and talk to them. And I actually really wanted someone to talk me out of what I was about to do. I looked for someone, anyone, that might tell me not to do it. And they weren't out there that day. There was no one out there. And so I walked in, and there were tons of people, mothers and daughters and boyfriends and girlfriends, and nobody looked at anyone else, and nobody talked to anyone else. And we were broken up in separate groups of girls to watch a video of a clump of circles, a clump of red cells. It just looked like a bunch of red grapes. And I was 10 weeks along at that point. And looking, you know, around me, I'm sure one of the girls was 8 weeks and maybe one was 7 and one was 12. But that's what they said was going on inside of all of us. I did not have an ultrasound and I never heard my baby's heartbeat. And I had counseling, and I put that word in air quotes, counseling, because the questions that she asked me were, do you have a good job? Do you have a nice car? Do you have a nice place to live? Do you have a husband, a boyfriend, a partner? Do you have all any of these things? And my answer was no to all of those questions. And then she said, well, what kind of mother would you make? And that just hung in the air, and I remember thinking if those were the qualifications for motherhood, then I wouldn't make a very good one, although I was a mother at that time. And then she closed the sale. She said, will that be Visa or MasterCard today? I remember the procedure. The assistant held my hand and told me what was going on, and the abortionist came in and didn't look at me and didn't introduce himself and didn't talk to me. I remember the sound of the vacuum and feeling the worst pain I've ever felt in my life. And I've had 4 children without drugs. I remember after I was led to the bathroom with pads, and she checked on me later and asked how my bleeding was. And I told her I was bleeding heavily, and she yelled at me. She said, you know, if you are, we're going right back in that room, and that doctor's going to come in and work on you again, which means that part of my baby might have still been left inside. But then I just said, I'm fine. And I went to the recovery room and sat in a recliner with a heated blanket and peanut butter and jelly toast, and I felt relief. I felt relief right away because the crisis was over. I mean, all of this agonizing that I had done, it was done. The problem was solved. And I looked around the room and wanted to catch someone's eye. And every recliner was full of girls that were crying. And one of the girls, kitty corner from me, was holding her stomach and saying, my baby, my baby, my baby. And I just sailed right into denial and assumed that I was just more mature than they were and I was handling it better. And I was told I could move on with my life. I could just get right back at it and do what I wanted to do because the problem was solved. And I went right back to drinking and partying. I began to struggle with depression and had nightmares. I remember this dark, thick, heavy blanket of shame just kind of fell over my life, and I had suicidal thoughts, and I made one suicide attempt. 5 years later, I was married, and we wanted to be pregnant, and we did get pregnant, and we were so excited, and we told everyone. And when I was around 10 weeks along, I began to bleed, and I was told that my baby's heart had stopped beating. And I was also told that I might pass a plum-sized clot. And what really happened is I went into labor, and I delivered that baby into my hand. And I didn't see just a bunch of red circles or just a clump of cells. I saw toes and feet and legs and fingers and hands and arms and a tiny little rump and a precious little face. And I knew the truth. There was no hiding the truth. I held that tiny little human, that tiny precious baby of mine in my hand. And I didn't know where to go and what to do after that because I wasn't sure what that meant for me. Obviously, what I had done in my abortion was wrong, but I didn't know who to talk to about it. My pastor did mention abortion. He did talk about abortion, and every time he did, I remember it feeling like a knife in my stomach, and I thought, why does he keep talking about this? But at the time, I was believing 2 lies, and the first one was that God would never forgive me for my abortion, and the second lie was that the miscarriage was punishment for my abortion.
Carla, I want to stop you right there just because
sure.
We have to take a break, but those are huge questions. We seek to answer them as we bring truth to this issue week in and week out. They're so troubling to the heart not yet healed after abortion. And Carla, I know it's by God's grace that you are healed and you're able to share, and yet I still know that it's difficult every time that we have to return to those days. And so I really appreciate you sharing from the heart on this. Our phones are open tonight at 800-811-3003. As you listen to Carla and as you think about this idea of whether or not the decision to abort a pregnancy can be considered brave, I would love to hear your thoughts. 800-811-3003. I hear many moments of bravery as I listen to Carla's story, but none of them have to do with the decision to take the life of the child. 800-811-3003. Join us. This is Cradle My Heart Radio.
A safe place to connect with others. Finding God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. To Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Join the conversation. Call toll-free 800-811-3003.
We're talking about being brave tonight here on Cradle My Heart Radio, and I have admitted in my writings and when I speak that I was guilty of cowardice. When I made the abortion decision, I was following the lead of those around me who said that that was my only answer. I was quite passive. I didn't really think through what was best for my child. There was not even a concept of a child, and when I asked about that, everyone told me it was something along the lines of what was displayed for Carla, a clump of cells, just tissue. I never pondered the morality of it, which means at that point I really wasn't guilty of cowardice, but there was a moment right before the procedure began when I believe, although I wasn't a Christian at the time, that the Holy Spirit came to tell me what I was doing was wrong. The assistant asked me, was I all right? And that contact woke me up to what was about to happen, and I knew in my heart, in my spirit, that it was wrong and that I should get up and not go through with it. I didn't have a plan. I didn't have any social support. I had nothing to go along with that truth, and so I passively went along with evil. To me, this is the definition of a coward. A coward is one who would choose to do what he or she knows to be wrong rather than risk personal harm or injury. By God's grace, I have been brave at different moments since then. I believe that he has given me a new spirit, a spirit of love and power and self-discipline, and not a spirit of fear. But the idea that abortion could ever be a brave decision, I just don't see it. And I don't say that to heap harm and judgment and more pain onto the woman who has chosen abortion. I say it because I think that it provides a light in the tunnel, that so many of us are troubled by not connecting the dots and realizing that, oh, yes, that is what my problem was. I wasn't brave on behalf of my defenseless child when that was what was really called for in the moment. Tonight our guest is Carla Stream, and we're talking about Carla's story, a little bit of my story there, and also the story of a young woman who announced her abortion online, her upcoming abortion online, and got a lot of support from the online community at Reddit that this was a brave thing she was doing, not only to post the story, but also to go through with the decision. And Carla, I'd just love to hear your thoughts about that, about bravery. You know, there's this move afoot to make abortion destigmatized, to try to make it a morally and emotionally neutral experience for women because one in three have had one. And so, you know, there are a lot of people who would object to my premise that there is even any moral basis for the decision, or that, you know, that there is anything immoral about choosing it ever under any circumstances, because women get the say and it's not a child, etc. I just love to hear your thoughts about how bravery played into maybe your story or what you see as you look around the passing scene.
I will speak to that letter. Just off the top of my head, I really am skeptical that it's for real. It's easy to hide in the anonymity of the web, and so when I think about all of the women that wrote and on that thread commented and said, "Oh yes, you are brave, and this is profound, and this is beautiful and wonderful," I couldn't help but think, what if she was writing that letter about her 1-year-old child? Would we still say that? And there was no mention of anyone else getting a chance to speak against what she was about to do. And I can only pray that that pro-lifers were thinking and wanting to offer her everything, that we would be there and stand there and say, "I will adopt that child. I will help you and offer all the support that I wanted for myself 24 years ago."
And I believe that probably was happening. It's interesting that the moderators didn't post very many pro-life comments. And if you read through the hundreds and hundreds of comments mm-hmm. that were posted, mm-hmm. you could see that many were deleted. And the rationale for that was that, oh, this isn't a thread about abortion. Well, how could it not be? And I agree. I know that there were people praying for this woman, and I know that there are people who willing to stand in the gap and love the child and help the woman mm-hmm. to make a good choice, and a choice that everybody can live with. What's troubling to me is that online support community, that online group of people saying, "Yeah, this is what you should do," because I agree with you. I mean, it struck me that not necessarily, of course, what your analogy is spot on. If this were a 1-year-old, if this were a 2-year-old that she felt she just simply couldn't manage, well, there'd be something else she could do other than eliminate the child from the face of the earth. And the same is, of course, true with pregnancy. But, you know, the thing that struck me, Carla, was what if she were about to take her own life? And I had this picture of a person poised on a bridge, right? And it's the cliche movie scene where all the resources, everybody, we pull out all the stops, you know, to save this person, someone to talk them down, a blanket or something to catch them, you know, a net for them, you know, to catch them into safety. And instead, picture a crowd saying, "What a brave decision you've made there on the ledge." Now, I don't want to muddy the waters by suggesting that, you know, there's cowardice involved in suicide, because that's not really the issue, and it's a separate ethical discussion. But I don't see the bravery in an abortion decision. I just don't see it.
I don't either. I think when someone is faced with something like an unplanned pregnancy, the bravery comes from looking at it realistically and getting all the facts and saying, "This is going to be difficult, but I'm going to do everything I can to save the life of my child. I will do whatever it takes. I will go to school. I will get financial help. I will seek out support. I will seek out help." That to me is bravery, and that to me is heroism. And every woman that has ever chosen life or chosen to put her baby up for adoption is a hero to me.
Mm. Amen. And, you know, even, again, and I don't say this to heap judgment or guilt onto women who didn't make that choice, but even in the case of the medically advised abortion with a very poor prenatal diagnosis, I see brave women saying, "I will give my child life, and I will love this child for as long as God allows this child to breathe." To me, that is a brave decision.
Amen.
Carla Stream is our guest tonight. Our phones are open at 800-811-3003, 800-811-3003. Carla, you're a former moderator for a really popular blog that had thousands of readers, hundreds of thousands of readers in some cases, Jill Stanek's blog. And I'm sure that you encountered the whole spectrum of opinion on abortion as you were moderating comments. Give us a peek into maybe some of the mindsets that you encountered that were perhaps most surprising.
Well, when I first started commenting, I really just wanted to raise my little flag and say, hey, I'm out here. I'm a mom that aborted, and I regret my abortion, and it was horrifying and horrible, and I would take it back in a second if I could. I just wanted to say, hey, we're out here. We regret. And I was treated just awful, absolutely awful. In fact, I emailed Jill immediately and said, what are the rules of commenting on your blog? Because I was like, wow, that's rough. And after that, I decided that I just really wanted to know, what were they thinking? What brought them to that stance? And I guess I wanted more of an education. So I went at it and thought, I'm just going to question them. Why do you believe what you believe? Why do you think that it's okay? And for the most part, it was a lot of moral relativism and circular reasoning and leaving it up to the woman because that's how we support them. And it to me was a lot of outdated thoughts and fallacies and outright lies that they believe about prenatal development and how they just came to what they believed and nothing was going to change that mindset. But I did actually, there were quite a few that did have some heart changes over the years that I was there, and it was wonderful to see their eyes being opened and their hearts softening to the truth.
Carla Stream is our guest, former moderator at Jill Stanek's blog, and also now a pro-life speaker and blogger. Her blog is 4x40. We'll continue after a short break, and our phones are open, and we have complimentary copies of my book tonight, Cradle My Heart, Finding God's Love After Abortion. We'd love to send you one when you join us with a question or comment at 1-800-811-3003. And so if we agree that it's inappropriate to be telling someone who announces plans to abort that this is a brave decision, what would you say? Join us with your thoughts on that. What would you say if someone said to you, this is happening and it's going to be happening next Friday? What would you say? 800-811-3003. Join us here at Cradle My Heart Radio.
Seeking to help others find God's love after abortion. Cradle My Heart Radio with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003. My Heart with Kim Cotola. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
What would you say to a woman if she said to you, I intend to abort my baby coming up on Friday, and this just isn't the right time for me to be a mom. I'm sure I will be ready someday, and I will love that child with all my heart. That was the gist of it in the letter that was posted on Reddit a few weeks ago. And there was also some very confused, I think, science and theology. She said, you know, when I saw that little blue positive sign, I'll see it again in the future. There's some Buddhist teaching that children choose when to be born and that they return to the ether if they die before birth and then choose a better time to be born. I was told such a line of thought when I was trying to recover after abortion, after I had already made that choice. It was a very unsatisfying bit of non-truth, and of course completely at odds with what the Bible tells us about how life begins before conception in the mind of God, before he conceives us in bodily form in our parents. And so what would you say to someone who was facing this decision and announced that she had made the decision? I think it makes a great deal of difference what we would have to say. Carla, I'll give you first crack at this, and I hope we get some callers too at 800-811-3003. Maybe you've been in this position and you've counseled with a friend or a loved one or a family member. What do you say? 800-811-3003. Carla, let's start with you. What would you say?
I have been in that position. I was on the phone for at least 2 hours with a woman that just could not see any way out other than abortion, and she was in an abusive relationship, and I told her everything that I wanted to hear for myself, and we actually talked about fetal development, and that she absolutely knew the truth. Absolutely knew the truth about fetal development, knew exactly what was going on inside her, and yet sought that abortion to get out of this abusive relationship. And I just could only beg her. I ended up just begging her not to do it. And then knowing that if she did, I said, I will always be here for you. You will be the mother of a child that died, and that nothing will ever change that.
Mm. 800-811-3003, Cradle My Heart Radio, talking about being the last line of defense when a woman is not feeling brave enough to make the difficult choice and choose life. I am not discounting the difficulty of circumstances that some women face, but I'll tell you, I have spoken with women who chose medically advised abortions, for example. A lot of people, Carla, still don't know that 92% of parents who receive a diagnosis of Down syndrome will abort.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I met a woman who had done that. She made that choice, and it was now 8 years on, and she thought, well, we'll try again. And thinking that they would have a healthy baby at some point in the future, they went ahead and aborted that, and 8 years later there had been no other pregnancy that had happened.
Mm.
And she was devastated that she missed her chance to parent that child. She deeply wanted that child despite whatever challenges the child had. I've spoken with many parents who are in that same category. 800-811-3003. I think what I would say is you can get through this. There is help available to you. I will help you. You can get through this. But I think, as you say, Carla, you know, not everyone will listen. We still need to be prepared. And, you know, the pregnancy help movement has been so huge, but yet there are still a lot of Christians that aren't aware. Carla, you've served on the board, as I understand it, of a pregnancy resource center.
Yes, I served for 4 years, and we did a lot in trying to educate young women at the campus of the University of Wisconsin River Falls, and reaching out to the community and telling them that we're there, and we needed volunteers, and we needed donations and support, and just trying to let them know that we were standing in the gap for women that may not know what to do.
Mm. And so the pregnancy help movement, to me, is a huge part of the answer, because they are providing the material support, they are providing the counseling, whatever is needed, the social support that was lacking in my case and sounds like was lacking in your case, Carla. They are there with the hands and feet and the practical help, and I think we all need to be aware of it. And to know that number, the helpline, the option line, 1-800-712-HELP, H-E-L-P. It's a 24/7 hotline. We'll connect you with a pregnancy resource center, I think within 50 miles of any place in the United States now. It's an amazing ministry. It's amazing how it's grown through the years. Carla, how do you help people understand what's at stake? You mentioned that, you know, a lot of people are operating out of ignorance, where either they don't know the medical facts about fetal development, or they don't understand the spiritual implications that there is another life involved here. What do you think is job one when it comes to raising awareness and helping people to understand what's at stake?
I think when you're speaking with women one-on-one that are in that situation, you need to meet the needs of where they are. If it is financial, then that can be raised. If it is any other reason, you address what it is that they're afraid of and that they're fearful of and what is driving them to consider abortion as an option. And we just come in and we meet that every need. And so the fears subside and the anguish and the desperation can subside. And we can say, we're here. Here we are. And whatever it is you need to get through this, we will offer you.
Mm. Amen. 800-811-3003. So tell me about your ministry now in the aftermath. I know that you started to say, Carla, when you were telling us your story that, as your pastor would be preaching on it, you would think, why? There were some things that you were in the midst of telling us when we had to take our break earlier on. So what does your ministry look like today? Take us from that time of understanding what had happened in your life to where you are now.
When my pastor continued to talk about abortion, I realized there was so much tension in my life. I couldn't reconcile my abortion with the faith that I claimed that I had as a Christian, and I didn't know what to do about it, but I just assumed that my pastor, Greg Heinch, would know what to do, since he always talked about it. And so I met with him, and he talked about God's forgiveness, and he listened to my story, and he prayed with me, and he promised me. He said, God promises you that he will give you forgiveness, and he will heal you, and your baby is waiting for you. He gave me hope, and that I could grieve with hope for the day that I'm reunited with her. And so I began the journey of healing, and I did reach out. I couldn't get enough of reaching out for resources. I did a Forgiven and Set Free Bible study, and I spoke with Silent No More, and I became a part of Operation Outcry, and I filmed a documentary called Life After Abortion, and I was also on the show Faces of Abortion. I just began speaking out and telling my story because I felt called. I felt called to say abortion hurts women. It has never helped me. It has hurt me, and wanting for others what I found for myself, which is forgiveness. And I attended a Rachel's Vineyard retreat, a post-abortive healing retreat weekend, and I became a facilitator because it was such good, godly time spent with others and just feeling his peace over that weekend and wanting to continue walking. And what I know now is that this journey will continue. I'm going to keep healing from my abortion. I'm going to keep walking with it. It is not who I am. My abortion does not define me. It's something I did, and I'm defined by God. He tells me who I am, and I'm his. And so I walk in the grace and mercy that he's given me, and what I feel called to do is to tell women that there is hope and healing after abortion. And I came to Christ because of my abortion. It is what brought me to my knees. It is what I surrendered in my brokenness, and I said, I need you, Lord, and he was there. And I am so blessed to say that the daughter that died in my abortion is named Aubrey, and the baby that I held in my hand is named Jamie, and I had another miscarriage, and I named that baby Lee, and I have four children that are raising my husband and I, Joshua, Sarah, Nathan, and Timothy, and those seven children have made me who I am today, and I'm blessed. And when you said there are women that never did get pregnant again, I know those women. They aborted the only child they would ever carry, and that heartbreak is devastating to listen to. Those stories hurt when you hear them, but I want to for sure let this be known that there is hope and healing and forgiveness in Christ after abortion. No one is beyond the saving grace of Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And thank you for tying up that loose end, because this woman who had shared her story with me absolutely found that. You talked a little bit, too, about the role of guilt in the aftermath of abortion. And mm-hmm. we're going to take a short break, and then I want to pick up the conversation there. And again, our phones are open at 800-811-3003, and we have a copy of Cradle My Heart for those who call tonight with a question or comment. 800-811-3003 with Cradle My Heart Radio and our guest tonight, Carla Stream. Please join us.
This is Cradle My Heart Radio. Call toll free at 800-811-3003.
Being brave before abortion, being brave instead of abortion, the main topic that we're discussing tonight. 800-811-3003. And we have an anonymous caller who wants to join us, and that's, of course, always okay with us. You do not need to give a name. We do respect your privacy. So welcome to Cradle My Heart Radio. Go ahead, please. You're on with me, Kim Cotola, and our guest, Carla Stream.
Hi. Hi, Kim. Hi, Carla. The reason why I'm calling is because the topic of brave touched me so much. It's funny because when the decision was being made and on the way, it was something I was constantly telling myself, be brave, be brave, be brave. I just could tell you that I've never known any bigger fear since from that moment of positive came, and even till now, it's still a fear. And for me, I want to be brave. I want to undo what was done and accept life, but I'm not brave. And that fear still resides, and I've never known any fear so strong. Mm. And I'm kind of at a crossroads. It's something I grapple with, how to be brave, how to accept life, and how to say yes.
Well, first of all, to admit this is hugely brave on your part, because it's a skill to ask for help. It is not a sign of weakness. It is a skill to ask for help and a sign of bravery. And I am going to send you a copy of my book. And please, even if you don't want to leave a name, but do leave an address so we can get that to you. That I think would be something that I hope would really help you, because I know what you're talking about from the inside out. And I can tell you that faith is what has made me brave. And being conformed to the image of Christ, which is what the work of the Holy Spirit does in our hearts. He changes us into something we never were. And accepting truth is what sets us free to be brave and to make different choices. That's what I would say to start on the journey. I don't know, Carlo, what you would add.
Bravery is what you just did. And bravery is a continuing to reach out, which goes against everything, the fear you're feeling and the confusion, but the continuing to reach out for the truth and reach out for those that love you and reach out for those that would support you, and just not stopping to reach out for help and hope and healing. That is bravery in the midst of your struggle, to continue to reach out for all the things that could heal you.
Mm. I sense too in our caller that you were very alone when you were telling yourself to be brave. Is that true? Is that part of your story?
Yes, very alone. Very alone. Yes, unfortunately.
Right, and you know, I think that that represents the story of so many of us. I don't know if you were listening earlier when Carla told her story, but that isolation, I think, is just part of what leaves our hearts so broken and so need of a healing touch from the Lord. And Carla, when you have a subsequent pain, the subsequent loss of a child, such a tender story that you tell of how the reality of abortion was brought home to you as you literally cradled the small body of a miscarried child in your hand. And then your mind came in with this awful lie that this was God's judgment. Please tell us how you worked through that, because I know that's a very, very common spiritual problem that women are subject to, that when things go horribly wrong after an abortion, we begin to believe that we are being punished by God.
I had to really cry out to him in that and ask him to show me the truth, and had to believe that both of my children were in heaven. And I read just the most precious book called I'll Hold You in Heaven by Jack Hayford. That book showed me that all children, whether they die in abortion or miscarriage or early infant death or stillborn, they are with him. And so I began to soften my heart to the truth and trust that what he was saying was true, that I was not being punished, because he told me he forgave me, and I felt his forgiveness. And so I began to just turn from that lie and walk in the forgiveness and freedom that I had found in him.
Mm. And I hope that this helps. And likewise, there was a book for me, for our caller, that was called Safe in the Arms of God, which helped me understand God's mercy toward the children. That not only would he not punish us, but he certainly wouldn't punish us by harming a child. I think, Carla, our emotional wires get crossed. I'm not sure how you would put it, you know, that why this is such a common problem for us to believe that God is punishing us in that way.
I think it had a lot to do with my vision of God. I grew up thinking that he was just standing over me waiting to punish me. I didn't think that he was a God of love and care and concern, and that it broke his heart for what I was going through. And when I pictured him standing right beside me, weeping with me, mourning with me, and grieving with me, then I began to see him in a totally different light of being my father, my loving father.
Mm. Amen. I hope that these thoughts help you, caller. And again, we will send you a copy of Cradle My Heart. And please keep listening. You may want to also go to cradlemyheart.org and just browse the podcast and listen there at your leisure. Because, as Carla said, what's required is a new mindset, a new idea about who God is, based on the truth and not based on our fears. And Carla, the hope that you've given us there is so important for so many people. I think that, you know, I've met people, and I think this was part of my story too, if I really try to reflect on it, that, you know, we sometimes prefer to punish ourselves as a kind of a messed up form of self-love. You know, because if I can never accept that I have imperfections, that I make mistakes, that I sin, secret anger over that leaves me just depressed and incapable of facing failure as a normal part of life. Our hearts know we can't remedy our wrongs, and we cannot let ourselves off the hook for our sins. And so shame is the way that we pay the price, but it's such a hopeless way to live. One of the big red flags on this is if you cannot handle criticism, even from a friend or someone that you trust. And this is why it's such a relief when we take the command of Christ to die to self, because pride goes with it. If you are a perfectionist, if shortcomings of others trouble you deeply, shame may be an affliction that you've come to both know and trust. And Carla, in the time remaining, we have just a couple of minutes. And so I know you could probably pray all night with us, but can you, in the time remaining, I guess now just about 1 minute, close us out in prayer, please.
Sure. Lord, I thank you for this precious time with Kim and for everyone listening. And I just ask, Lord, that you draw your daughters to yourself, those that have had abortions, that are struggling, that are hurting. You see them. You know them. You are with them. And I ask that you just shower your grace upon them and help them, Lord, to reach out for healing. Help them to reach out for truth, that they no longer walk in the lies or the bondage of Satan. I pray that they just come to you, Lord, and you restore them and rescue them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Carla Stream, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
You can learn more about Carla's ministry at our website at cradlemyheart.org. Be sure and join us next week. Thanks for listening to this podcast from Cradle My Heart. For more information about this show, you can visit our Cradle My Heart program page on myfaithradio.com.